story of secrets.
News with Nick, Halloween, October 31st, 2018.
Do you think I want a messy burrito? No one wants a messy burrito.
The whole appeal of a burrito is that all of the ingredients are contained within the confines of the tortilla. I wouldn't have gotten half this shit if I knew it was gonna fit in the burrito. All right, look.
I wouldn't have got them.
Justin Bieber eats a burrito sideways. Justin Bieber eats a burrito sideways. Justin Bieber eats a burrito sideways? Justin Bieber ate a burrito sideways. This is from 5 days ago, October 25th. Justin Bieber. We have so many questions. What brought Bieber to this bench alone with a burrito? Wasn't he nervous it would fall apart, leaving beans and sour cream all over his artfully ripped jeans? Did it fall apart? So this went all over the news. A picture of Justin Bieber sitting on a bench, munching into the side of a burrito. And it went all over the nightly news, and they said, Justin Bieber, he ate a burrito sideways. Who would ever do such a thing? He's eating it like a corn on the cob. Everyone's going crazy. They're all upset. They're sharing it to their Tumblrs, their Twitters. Turns out, Justin Bieber's burrito picture was just staged. It was a guy that they flew in from Canada, dressed him like Justin Bieber, and had him bite into the side of a burrito, posted it on the internet, and said, look at this photo of Justin Bieber. And everyone upvoted it and pretended it was the most amazing thing they'd ever seen. And it wasn't even Justin Bieber in the first place. So he's basically like at his penthouse. He's reading the news. He obviously Googles himself. Is like, what have I done recently? And they're like, you've eaten a burrito sideways. I didn't. I didn't even have a burrito. But it's funny. The YouTube channel Yes Theory put out an entire video on how they pranked the entire internet by taking a picture of a guy who wasn't even Justin Bieber and getting everyone to just reshare it, which is what I've been saying this whole time. You click, you reshare, you believe it, you do no validation. Now, to be fair, there were a couple news sites that actually said, now, wait a minute, we don't have any pictures of Justin Bieber wearing this clothing, and we've got these TMZ photographers everywhere. So I feel like we would have seen him at least walking with a burrito or with this hoodie on. So anyway, that happened. It is Halloween. Check out the video version of the show. It is over at newswithnick.com. Click on the episode and the video version will be posted under this episode. So we're in costume. So I'm very happy that after an hour from now, I can finally take off this costume. I was going to, I went out on Saturday. I won a costume contest or whatever. So they call everyone up and they're like, here's all the costumes. And they go and they put their hand over each person. And these stupid girls in the audience just scream the exact same volume for every single person on the stage. It's like, you can't vote for everyone. It can't be like, yay, Hillary. Also, yay, Trump. It can only be yay, Trump. So we got that happened. But anyway, they put their hand over my head and then eventually the DJ just says, Daphne wins. So I'm like, woohoo, I won. And they're like, all right, what size shirt do you want? And I said, well, I'm a medium. And they said, all we got is large. And I said, cool, thanks for asking. So they gave me that and a glow in their cup. So that happened. Good work, everyone. Speaking of Halloween, Georgia sheriff puts Halloween warning signs in sex offenders' yards. The sheriff office in Butts County, Georgia, has been placing yard signs in front of homes of registered sex offenders in the area that read, warning, no trick or treat at this address, !! And it says, warning, stop, stop at the top. This guy made this in Microsoft Word. Do you think if I Google image searched that trick or treat bag, I'd come up with it? Images, trick or treat bag. No, I don't see it. Oh, there it is. There it is. It's literally the first row at openclipart.org. The guy Googled image trick or treat bag and took the image from the top of Google Images and then stuck it on the thing with a big no over it. No bags of trick or treat. A community safety message from Butts County Sheriff Gary Long. Listen, their county name is Butts, and the guy's name is Gary Long. And they're like, no, we're totally against sex offenders. Each one of the 54 registered sex offenders in the county now has a sign in their yards. He says, I'm not trying to humiliate them or anything like that, but let's face reality. Oh, sorry. He actually says, let's face reality. We have a greater chance of children getting run over by a car than being a victim of sexual assault. But at the end of the day, if, in fact, we had a child that fell victim to a sexual assault, especially a convicted sex offender, I don't think I could sleep at night. Wow. So he admits that it does nothing. And yet he posted this word art from Microsoft Word image in everyone's yard. My goodness. In previous years, the sheriff's office has just put signs on the doors of homes belonging to sex offenders. In preparation for Halloween, Georgia state agencies have traditionally forbidden sex offenders from decorating their houses and participating in other Halloween activities. So, what? Like, you can't do anything Halloween-y, or just if there might be a kid? Sheriff claims there's going to be more house-to-house trick-or-treating this year because of a popular Halloween event in the town square, which has been canceled. Oh, sorry, has been canceled. Therefore, they're not going there. Therefore, the sheriff decided to make the signs more prominent because of the expected increase in foot traffic. Oh, my God. Gary Long is a complete idiot. He's like, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to think of... if it's already against the rules, like, how... Okay, how... It's already against the rules, right? So the sex offender can't do it. So if you see him doing it, you go, no. You can't hand out candy. And if anyone was going to break that rule, why don't they just walk out to their stupid yard and change the sign out and print their own from Google Images and go, yes, definitely trick-or-treating at this house. What if I did that? What if I went around with yes signs and I said, definitely go to this house, but I took the other sign down? Like, what would they charge me with? Trying to lure kids into another man's home? Is that even a charge? Right? I'd like to find out. I'm going to be going to Butts County, Georgia next year. I'm going to be camping out. We're going to be looking out our windows. And as soon as those signs go up, I'm switching them out for other signs just to see what would happen. I think I'd get in the news. They'd be like, look, 1 year ago, he claimed he was going to do it. Now anyone could do it, and it's going to come back to me. So a week ago, not even a week ago, Saturday, we had the 10-mile run for our run club, and I didn't even participate. It was so rainy. I didn't run, rather. It was so rainy. It was going to be so cold. It was going to be like the Boston Marathon weather, you know, when they got all rained on. And so I volunteer. I'm like, oh, cool. I can be one of those guys who stands nearby and I point in a certain direction, which is great and fine. I'm part of the club. So I volunteer. And as we're coming up to the race, they start saying, oh, it's really cool. We got some ruckers that are joining us. They're going to be rucking the race. And I'm thinking, oh, no. Oh, no. They're so slow. And I get it. You can't be shaming anyone if they're a slow runner, right? This is as fast as I can go. I can only go 14-minute miles. Fine, right? At least you're trying. If you're not out of breath by the end of a race, you shouldn't have been in the race. If you're just like, that was pretty easy, then no. No, you weren't racing. You were just strolling along, wasting my time, because here's what happens. Everyone runs by, right? At 2.5 hours into this stupid race. Nah, like one hour or so, 1.5 after they started. I'm still at my spot at mile 6. And the cop comes up to me, because I've also got a cop at my little intersection. And he says, hey, the race organizer just called 911 because they're at the end and I'm not there. And I'm like, I'm still here. Because there's still people coming by. And I'm like, yeah, because some of them are slow. And he's like, well, that's what they get. And I actually knew this cop. He's in one of my old YouTube videos. But anyway, so he's like, well, if you're fine here, I'm going to go over to the end because they called 911. They literally called 911 and said runners are crossing the street and there's no cop. Okay. So we haven't had a conversation about that yet at the club. Anyway, So the guy leaves, and I'm like, oh, well, there should only be a few more runners left to go. So I see one more runner jog by. And then 20 minutes later, a man with a backpack comes by because he's a rucker. He's walking slow with a backpack. What is rucking? For the last few months, me and my family have found an exercise that we enjoy, and it's called rucking. Every time I share a status update, tweet, or photo, I use the term rucking or going for a ruck. I get reactions from people. It's been funny how many people have asked me if I'm making up the term or trying to force something new. Too few actually took the time to know what it was, to ask what it was. Rucking is to put weight on your back and go for a walk. More weight or more miles equals more results. Here's a great video from Go Ruck defining and showing what rucking is.
Like running, because you have the miles element, but it's more quality miles. So rucking to me is going for a shorter distance, but having more quality. Like when I'm running with somebody, I'm not getting a workout in. Like I don't run with other people. I run by myself because I'm never able to get a good workout in. But with rucking, what? I could do it with 100 people and I get the same quality workout and the same feeling I get when I'm done 10 miles by myself.
Okay, great. I'm all for rucking. You want to ruck? You want to hike? You want to walk, you want to cycle, you want a Heely, you want to do whatever you want to do. But these ruckers that are joining running races are a problem and they are a drain on our resources. If you took every race and you looked at the top 10% and the bottom 10%, the bottom 10% are taking like, the bottom 10% are taking like 25 to 33% of the number of hours that the course has to be open. So if you're just like, just let's cut off the bottom 10% of the race, of society, of the race, of every group of people, just cut off the bottom 10%. We'd be like 25 to 33% better. That's a mathematically sound equation and we should do it. But so anyway, so I'm standing there for 20 minutes and a man walks by with a backpack, and I have to be like, I'm on the course marshal. I have to make sure he gets it across the intersection safely. And guess what? Somehow I was able to successfully help a man with a backpack navigate across an intersection. And then I was thinking, what the? If they're so tough, they're rucking in this weather, they don't need me helping them cross the intersection. In fact, they should be offended. They should be like, no. Ruckers do not need course marshals. Get out of here and go pack up the finish line, right? But no, because here's the thing. We have to be appreciative of the ruckers. Everyone says, oh, the ruckers are going to join us. Sweet. That gives your race clout because the ruckers have decided to join. Why is that important? Because of Team 2-22 Infantry. Sorry. Team 2/22 Infantry is made up of veterans of the unit as well as close friends and family members who are walking in memory of our fallen heroes and to support Military Friends Foundation. This will be the second year our team will be rucking in the Tough Ruck event, and we look forward, to pick right up where we left off. Thanks to our donors, last year we raised $24,000. Great. Great. They rucked an actual ruck event and raised money. But now these same people who ruck that event just go to other events and they're like, we're gonna ruck it. I don't know. I'm like, guys, you can ruck off. This is wasting so much time and I'm freezing. I had to stand out there for like 40 minutes helping a person cross the street. That makes no sense. Leave the body parts at the entrance. The Bartow Middle School girls plan to kill classmates and drink their blood. Two students from Bartow Middle School came to school with knives and planned to attack students Tuesday, according to the Bartow Police Department. The school resource officer was alerted to a complaint about armed students around 1:30 p.m. He said that the girls allegedly planned to kill as many as 19 students. 15, rather. I don't know why I read 19, but who cares? School staff found the two girls in the bathroom during class time prior to carrying out their plans. The two girls were arrested and removed from campus. No one was hurt in relation to the incident. Police said school staff initially caught wind of the possible plot when a student told a teacher that one of the suspects said not to come to school Tuesday. All right, this is what these killers like to do. They like to flaunt their power and go, something big is coming. Don't come to school tomorrow. And then everyone goes, "Oh, I'm scared." And what you really should be doing is calling the police, right? In response, multiple Bartow police officers and a Polk County deputies were on campus. After first period, the mother of one of the suspects received notice from the school that her daughter had not shown up for second period. Okay, that's weird. So you get notice in the middle of the day if your kid's like missing? I guess that makes sense, right? Like, she was here for first period. She's not here for second period. Upon receiving the call, the principal organized school staff and law enforcement to conduct a search of the school. The school's assistant principal found the girls in a bathroom in the 500 building with a goblet. The girls were brought to the principal's office, and one was asked to empty her pockets. When she did, they found a paring knife and a sharpener. They asked the girl why she had the weapon, and she said she and the other girl were plotting to attack and kill as many students as they could. Police then searched the girls and found several more knives, including a butcher knife. The girls told detectives they had been plotting to kill at least 15 people and been hiding in the bathroom to wait for smaller students so they could overpower, that they could overpower to be their victims. Okay, so they got one part of the killing right, in a bathroom, right? There's no cams. Police said that the girls told them that they were practicing Satanists. During a search of one of the girls' phones, detectives said they found a message that the girls planned to leave the body parts at the entrance and then kill themselves. What? At the entrance of the school or of the bathroom? Leave the bodies at the door. Leave the bodies at the door. That's what they were saying. All right, let's check out the photos from the evidence locker. So they have a little piece of paper where they've written their hit list. And there's two columns. One of them is T and one of them is kids. So I'm assuming T is for teachers. And so they have terrible, terrible handwriting. And there's no way I'm going to be able to read this. And these teachers have the longest names, or they're being funny and making it up. So the first teacher's name is like Ms. Santhifadarkuk. And the second teacher's name is Ms. Asitasaf Trench Stung Thing. And under the kids, who are the first two people on the hit list? Actually, it's only the first listing on the hit list of kids. Us! Exclamation point. They're counting themselves in the body count. Brilliant. So that happened. They were sitting in the bathroom. Not well thought out. They were in middle school, so they've got a little more time in the juvie to sort out their plans and then come back. So they were sitting, so they're waiting for like just someone to walk into the bathroom, but why would they have a hit list of kids? How would they know that the kid was going to go to the bathroom at that time? Now, it is true. I did have a friend in high school who every time after chemistry class, every single time he would walk down the exact same hall, go into the exact same bathroom. Like he had the exact same body schedule right after that period. And I was thinking to myself, no. You got to mix it up. What if the snipers decide that they want to do a hit on you? They're going to know exactly where to find you, right in that bathroom, right after that period. You can't be predictable to these snipers, right? A 63-year-old Greentown woman has been charged in racist letter incident. Huh? Deborah Cantwell was booked in the Howard County Jail and charged with misdemeanor counts of intimidation and criminal mischief for a crime that's left the Greentown community rallying around a family that was left traumatized. Police say she left a racist letter aimed at a black child on the door of her neighbor's recently purchased home. She posted 10% of an $8,000 bond and was also hit Friday with a protection order that states stalking has occurred and prohibits her from contacting the family. All right, so let's see what happened. The case kicked off at 1:13 a.m. on October 13th when the husband and father of the family contacted. This is the family across the street, not the family of the Greentown woman. Contacted a sheriff's deputy reporting that his family's Greentown home had been toilet papered and a racist letter attached to the door. Huh? His wife and family had just been at the house 5 hours earlier. He'd come home around midnight when he found the toilet paper and letter. A probable cause affidavit refers to the note as a racially offensive and threatening in nature and explains the family has a black son. It does not provide the age of the son. Parts of the letter were quoted in the affidavit, so we're going to read the letter shortly. Let's see. So it says, on October 15th, the father informed law enforcement that he suspected that the woman was responsible for the incident. He was previously told by the home seller that Cantwell was opposed to the family moving into the neighborhood because of their black son? So she'd come over and she'd be like, don't sell the house to them. No. I'm interested now that... I am stressing now that we are going to have black neighbors, Cantwell texted. I'm hoping that more people look at the house and that an all-white family are the ultimate buyers. I am afraid the stress of black neighbors could put me in the hospital. My blood pressure is elevated just thinking about the possibility. Oh, dear. According to police, she admitted to writing the letter out of anger and toilet papering the yard. Again, justifying her actions by referencing past incidents that she said caused her family harm. She says, I mean, the blacks get away with it every time, she told an investigator. Just rage. I was trying to vent, she added about the toilet. So she goes into her pantry. She's like, gotta throw some trash on this lawn, grabs all the toilet paper like a child, and just runs over and just throws it all over the place. When asked if she was sorry for what she'd done, she declined to apologize, but claimed she intends to seek counseling. I'm sorry that it caused so much ruckus, but I feel like I released some anger writing that letter. Okay, so she's admitting she may have a little prob. So let's take a look at the letter. And should I say the full word, or should I say, like, the other N-word? No, are you crazy? The N-word. Remember the Borat thing? Okay, so she says, no ninnies wanted in this neighborhood, but she doesn't use ninny, right? No ninnies wanted in this neighborhood. This is a white neighborhood, all caps. Some people find ninnies stressful due to 33 years of negative experience, and it causes serious health issues. Anxiety and stress causes my health issues to worsen. I am under strict order to remain stress-free. Cannot be stress-free if I have to look at the ninny kid day in and day out. Oh my goodness. We moved here. Oh my goodness, this lady, look at her. Yeah, she's definitely got a sad life going on. This is crazy. We moved here to a white town, all white neighborhood for health reasons, among other things. This is our forever home. We cannot afford to move. Besides, this is my dream home, and we have been here for a very long time. Perhaps you should have considered the neighbors before bringing a ninny kid into this neighborhood. So they're talking about it's not even the family that's black. Like, they adopted or something a biracial child. Your kid is not welcome. Just the sight of the child reminds me of all the things I live in this town to forget. Takes me back to the ninnies that beat my sibling, bloody and bruised, and police saying they couldn't do anything because they're black. That was just the beginning, and it continued until we moved here 3 years ago when black kids bullied my grandchild. These kids had a rap sheet a mile long for bullying kids. The parents had lawsuits against them for the bullying. The black principal would do nothing. Principal spelled wrong. Like the Talos principal. Not the principal of the school. The prince pal is your pal. That's how you know how to spell it. The bus company did nothing, and the police said they could do nothing. So she's really just taking out a whole bunch of past stuff on this one kid. The kid finally had enough and decided to cut wrists. Wait, what? Wait, hang on. The kid finally had enough and decided to cut wrists? I look at your kid, and I see the grandkid with white bandages on the wrists, and the rage skyrockets. Oh, so the white kid got so depressed about the black kid bullying that the white kid cut wrists. This sets off my anger, rage, and disgust about how ninnies never pay for their crimes, but a white kid would have to. I cannot deal with this stress. So that is the top of the letter. And apparently, there is no like additional letter posted. There was more letter, but it wasn't posted publicly. So we do not have it, unfortunately. All right, so let's see what's happened. The black family across the street, which isn't even a black family, has started a GoFundMe. They've raised $5,800. For what? For why? Why? Why did they get $5,800? Just says raising money to fight a hate crime. Says need a lawyer for hate crime, but they don't need a lawyer for the hate crime. They're not suing. They're not suing. We left that night around 7, completely exhausted. We went back to the rental for the night, and I got the kids ready. We finally fell asleep around 11:30 that night. Around midnight, my husband, who was working late, got off work and stopped by the new house to turn the furnace back on. The outside lights were on, so it's well lit. At first, the toilet paper didn't show up well. The closer my husband got, the more he saw. Not only the toilet paper in the bushes and tree, but the note folded and tucked in the front door. The note, that was the threat. An entire typed out, but not signed, letter. A letter about my son, who had been watched and plotted against. My biracial son, my child, was facing bigotry and hatred at a level I can't even fathom just for the color of his skin. I have blacked out the worst word, but you can still see. They blacked out the word. Get it? This is the first part of the letter. There's no need to post the entire thing. It only got worse. Our house was TP'd and a highly racist threatening note was left. We just experienced our first ever hate crime. A hate crime against my son, a child. So now I don't know whose side to be on. Obviously this woman's insane, but also why is there a GoFundMe for $5,800? How do I tell my child that this was done? What words do I say to him to let him know it's not okay and this doesn't represent this town where everyone that meets him likes him? Yeah, of course. Everyone likes a little black boy. There's no problem. It's when they get muscles that we get scared. My goodness. Anyway, so if you see him out, keep close to him. He needs people that see him for more than anything now. Sorry. See him for him more than anything now. This mama needs some peace. Most of all, pray. Pray for him and our family, and please help educate others. This can happen anywhere. This is real. This is happening still. The hatred affects everyone involved. Wrong version of effects. Alrighty. Whatever. So, check out the GoFundMe, too. Maybe you want to donate to the kid with the arm, the black arm. Alright, we got a big news story this week.
The portrait emerging of 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc Jr. revealing a man obsessed with his support for President Trump. His Twitter feed showing him driving to Trump rallies, hosting crowd chants, attacking CNN, cheering the president on in this selfie video. Another recorded as the president spoke. Online, Sayoc would go after many of the Democrats who received devices, saying of George Soros, "You will vanish," and attacking Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
The first package was found Monday in the mailbox of billionaire investor George Soros' Bedford, New York home. Law enforcement officials detonated the device as a precaution, and no one was injured. Secret Service intercepted a second package on Tuesday that was addressed to Hillary Clinton. Her spokesman said former President Bill Clinton was at the couple's home, but officials said the bomb was found at a mail facility before it could reach the destination. On Wednesday, authorities found more packages addressed to former President Barack Obama. Blah, 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 blah. Bunch of Dems got a bunch of pipes in the mail. Some free PVC to their house from allegedly a man who shoved them in a padded envelope, stuck 6 American flag postage stamps on it, and dropped them in a mailbox. So let's find out. The bombs were made from a PVC pipe with a digital timer attached to set off the detonator and contained powder from either a low explosive or a pyrotechnic. Law enforcement officials told NBC News that x-rays of the device showed there could be pieces of shrapnel inside the pipes as well. The bombs addressed to Brennan had been wrapped in tape and a non-combustible white powder was found in a manila envelope. All of the bombs had matching characteristics, but some of them were not capable of exploding because of flaws in the way they were made. Authorities said they were still trying to figure out if the defects in some of the bombs were intentional to make them appear as convincing hoaxes or simply the result of bad construction. So we don't know yet. why this man in the van couldn't craft a single bomb that exploded properly. And how would he know when it got to its destination? Like, how does he know how long a package takes from dropping in the mailbox to getting through a mail sorting facility to getting to President Clinton? Right? Or maybe he doesn't care. That's the thing that's most likely, is that he never thought he would be murdering President Clinton. He thought that he was going to send a message by sending a fake pipe bomb and then it would be addressed to him, right? The devices have been sent to the FBI's laboratory in Quantico, Virginia to be analyzed. Where do they come from? Huh? The facility, the mail facility about 13 miles north of Miami, processed mail sent to all parts of the country but only handles packages. The U.S. Postal Service said on Thursday, officials said they believe 10 of the packages passed through this large postal location. Why weren't the stamps on the packages postmarked? Okay, who cares about that? Let's see if there's any more info in the video.
Richie says he took it further, threatening her after he saw her on Fox News.
I received a tweet from this guy who was saying things such as, you know, make sure you hug your loved ones before you leave your home.
Sayak has a history of arrests, including making a bomb threat to Florida Power and Light Company in 2002, saying it would be worse than September 11th. Ron Lowy was Sayak's attorney then and says his client made the phone threat when his power was cut off.
He's not like you and I. He's missing something.
And this is what people...
So,
all right.
I would interpret that as he suffers from one or more illnesses.
Okay, so the man went crazy, right? Here's a picture of his van that everyone's been sharing, which is very, like, well done, let's say. These are the ramblings of a madman. It says, top youth soccer recruits for Trump. And so he's got Trump and Pence at the top of his van, and they're both giving thumbs up and stuff. He's like, yeah, this is good. And then as you get further down in the poster, or whatever you want to call this, the window collage, it says, dishonest media, CNN sucks. And then there's targets on a bunch of people's faces, including Hillary Clinton, Michael Moore, whatever, a bunch of other people. And so he's made his van into like a little thing, but like, this is a well, like, I'm not sure if he printed out each of these pictures individually. If he did, they're well aligned. Or if he sent this to, like, uprinting.com, he, like, made a PDF and he's like, I'm going to need to pick up a window vinyl next week. Can you have this printed out? What if you sent this? Like, do they just print it? I guess they take your money no matter what. But at what point would a printing company call the cops? Like, when you have targets, like, crosshairs on former presidents? I don't know. But anyway, like, they've got the wide format. What job are you working on today, Jimmy? He's like, oh, it's the dishonest media Trump guy again. He sent in another file? you got to be printing stuff out for this guy constantly. He sticks him on his van, right? So we got this guy down in our area, and I'm driving to work. He parks in this pull-off. It's completely legal to park here, apparently. And he gets out of his car. I saw him one time. He got him out of his car, and he starts getting his signs out, and he props them against his car. It's basically all pro-Trump stuff, but some of it's worded very confusingly. He's like one of the signs says, save the country! Vote all Democrats out! Like, out is at the bottom. So it's like, vote all Democrats. Oh, okay, vote all Democrats out. Oh. And then it says, save the country. Vote all Republicans in next to it. Like, okay. It's a little unclear. Like, I want to pull over and be like, it's a little unclear. This one's unclear what you're saying. It's kind of, at first glance, it's like you're saying vote all Democrats. But, so should the police roll up on this guy and be like, hey, you got a lot of pro-Trump signs. You got any pipes in that car? Let me just take a look around. So here's his boss describing his van.
People seem not to understand. I can't fire somebody because of their political views. Whether they
don't- Is that true? I do not think that that's true. I think you can fire someone for their... I don't think political view is a protected class. I don't know.
Don't like me, or they don't like a black person or a gay person. I can't do that. I can't. As much as I'd like to, I couldn't. But his van was freaky scary. I actually was talking to my brother a few minutes ago, and I was telling him he was driving me home one night because it was raining. And when I got in the van, I just remember looking, is there any way I can get out? Because I said, he really appreciated me as a general manager, liked me, but hated me as being a lesbian. So I always wanted to make sure.
Of course. Why not? Hated me for being a lesbian.
Hated me as being a lesbian. So I always wanted to make sure, if he ever offered me a ride, that I could find a way out of that van.
I saw in the Washington Post you told their reporter that inside the van there were puppets with their heads cut off and mannequins with their heads cut off?
Puppets with that, mannequins and puppets and nooses, you know. But that was on his van also. There was Ku Klux Klan. There was Nazi Whoa. Symbols.
Did he talk to you about these things when you're in there?
Hillary Clinton. No, absolutely not. He talked to me about...
Okay, so she gets in, like, sorry about the headless puppet. Just throw that in the back with the noose. Actually, let me just hang it up with this noose. Although, you can't hang up a thing if it doesn't have a head. Like, someone's head is pretty much their noose hanger.
Coming to a show at...
Noose Loop.
At the Hard Rock, but I would have to come by myself. He appreciated me as a general manager, and that whatever I could do for him, I did. If he needed time off to go home early, I would let him go home early. And I appreciated him as being on time.
Did he need time off to make some pipe bombs? I gave him time off to make some pipe bombs. Like, what's he? It's not my problem what he does in his spare time.
And being, you know, articulate and due diligent and all of that. As far as the political views, no. When he would start on that, I would just kind of nip it in the butt and say, you got a delivery up, you got to go. He knew that I was a very strong supporter, lesbian. Very strong
lesbian,
very proud of my sexuality. But more than once,
before.
He told me that if he had complete autonomy, I would burn in hell with all the blacks and Jews and Hispanics and everybody
joking.
Else.
I was just joking. I was just joking that she was gonna say lesbian again. Oh my god, we have to go back. I got hair in my mouth. I did not watch this whole video before. I just was like, oh, this is a cool interview. Let's play this.
That I was a very strong supporter, very strong lesbian, very proud of my sexuality. But more than once, he told me that if he had complete autonomy, I would burn in hell with all the blacks and Jews and Hispanics and everybody else. It was just the white supremacists that were going to rule the world. And unfortunately, he said, Deborah, as much as I like you, you're going to be the first one I burn.
Wow. Nice. So, he sticks to his guns, at least, or his pipes. He's like, I love you, Deborah, but, I mean, you're a lesbian Jew, and you gotta burn. All right. So last week, we also had the Pittsburgh shooting. So that has occurred. This is a much more highly affecting incident, I believe. And so the pipe bomber is just funny, because he didn't accomplish anything. He didn't kill anyone.
And crush Joe Manchin.
And we really emphasize that if you don't vote on November 6th, it's a vote essentially against President Trump, because you're allowing the Democrats to be able to cede ground and be able to, in fact, get in there.
I think I just played the entirely wrong video. I have no clue. The long-haul trucker accused of shooting and killing 11 worshippers in a hate-driven rampage at a local synagogue made a brief court appearance in a wheelchair Monday and was ordered back for a preliminary hearing Thursday. So, of course, everyone has heard about this. We don't need to pick up the story from the top. However, Robert Bowers, 46, was assigned a court-appointed lawyer and waived a reading of the charges he faces. He was being held without bail for the attack, the Anti-Defamation League called the deadliest against the Jewish community in history. Just kidding. U.S. history. That'd be funny if they were like, This is the deadliest attack against Jews that in history, ever. Bowers, who was wounded in a gunfight with police, was released from a local hospital hours before the hearing. The U.S. attorney said that the hearing, that said at the hearing, said after the hearing, sorry, that the case would be presented to a federal grand jury within 30 days. So he's been charged with like 44 counts of stuff. He went into a synagogue, shot up a place, and as they were arresting him, he was like, all Jews have to die. All Jews have to die. So as newsy as this event is, it is not that all that interesting. The chat says, why did she get into the van after all that? It's like, by the way, you're going to have to burn for being a lesbian Jew. Also, do you want to ride home in this van? She's like, sure. It is raining. Maybe she should join those Ruckers and she'd really learn how to walk home. And then Trump visited Pittsburgh and pretty much like the mayor of Pittsburgh was like, Trump, get out of here. We don't care. You caused this. Although, to be fair to Trump, the guy who shot up the Jewish place was basically like, Trump is way too pro-Jew for me. He's like helping the Jews, kind of. I'm way more right than Trump. I guess if you define left and right as left pro-Jew, right anti-Jew, which I don't know if that's the spectrum, but still, you know what I'm saying. Like, this guy wasn't even like, yeah, Trump, I'm going to shoot up a place. It is funny how all this happens right before the election, but I'm not going to be like, oh, conspiracy and false flag. Why is all this stuff, the bombing and the shooting, all happening before the election? If it was conspiracy, they would have had that guy walking through the Jewish synagogue going, Trump, 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 bang, bang, I love Trump, bang, bang, Trump hates Jews and I kill Jews, right? So, no, he was like, no, Trump's not even good enough for me. So, there we go. Speaking of Trump, Florida man accused of groping an airline passenger and tells the authorities that the president says it's okay. Bruce Michael Alexander, 49, of Tampa, made his initial appearance in federal court Monday in Albuquerque on a charge of abusive sexual contact. It wasn't immediately clear if he had an attorney. A woman told authorities the man behind her touched her twice and that she told him to stop and asked to change seats. Alexander recalled in a written statement only that the woman in front of him had spoken to him and then changed seats. What? Alexander remains in custody pending a preliminary hearing and a detention hearing scheduled for Tuesday. This marks the second similar incident in the past week. So apparently there was another man that played footsie with someone on a plane and the pilot diverted the plane because of a man playing footsie. All right. We're not going to read the news story. We're going to go straight to the source. We're going to read the criminal complaint of the man who touched a lady on the plane. It's long one. Brace yourselves. And by long one, I mean 6 pages. First, I'm going to take a drink. This is signed October 22nd, 2018. I, Michael Hopping, is a special agent with the FBI, duly sworn to poses and say... Deposes and say, excuse me, sir, I think you meant said. This entire motion is thrown out. It's not even a motion. It's an affidavit. I am a special agent with the FBI, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. Okay, we're going to go down. The summaries of conversations do not include all potentially criminal conversations and may not represent the entire conversation that occurred between identified individuals. Based on the information in this affidavit, I submit that there is probable cause to believe that on Michael 21st, October Alexander, on an aircraft in the special aircraft jurisdiction of the United States. Wow, I am so drunk. Wait a minute. Bruce Michael Alexander on an aircraft in the special aircraft jurisdiction of the United States? There's a special aircraft jurisdiction? Like, if you're on a plane, you're in a different legal jurisdiction. I guess that makes sense because how it's like, oh, if I get raped over Texas, am I in Texas? Or am I, if I get doodled over dangle, am I in that state? I don't know. So I guess you're in the special aircraft jurisdiction. I've never heard of this in my life. On October 21st, 2018, while on Southwest Airlines flight to Albuquerque, New Mexico, Bruce Michael Alexander made abusive sexual contact with victim CW. Remember DW from Arthur? According to CW, while a passenger on the flight, she felt a hand from behind her grab the right side of her right breast. Okay, so we can act it out using my costume. This is great. She felt a hand from behind her grab the right side of her right breast. Bonk. CW was seated in a window seat. Okay, in the row in front of Alexander. In that case, that means he has to reach through the seats. Alexander was also seated in a window seat. CW shared the row with a man, GL, who sat in the aisle. Alexander shared the row with a man who remains unidentified. Fascinating story so far. CW fell asleep after boarding the aircraft and approximately 15 to 20 minutes into the flight felt a movement on the right side of her sweater. She felt her clothes move and a touching of fingers on her right side at and around her bra line. CW saw a hand and assumed the touching was an accident. Approximately 30 minutes after the first touch, CW felt fingers slowly grab the back of her arm, squeezing above the elbow, then slowly and attentively grope her right side. Again, at around her ribs and bra line, CW demonstrated the area that was touched to law enforcement. Agents and officers no less than three times... Oh, it went to a next page. That wasn't me reading dumbly. It went to another page. So she demonstrated no less than three times and gestured at an area inclusive of her right breast. CW said that she saw a hand that had thick fingers, were hairy, and dirty fingernails. Ugh. Okay, arrest him. In my training experience, victims of sexual assault and similar crimes have great difficulty in saying, in words, the exact parts of themselves that were touched. Gestures and demonstrations is a more comfortable method of explaining contact. Gestures and demonstrations are often limited and not to the full extent of what actually occurred. My training has also taught me that people rarely remember inconsequential details unless the details are relevant or traumatic. According to the victim, after she felt the second touch, she rose from her seat, turned around, and told the passenger behind her that she didn't know why he thought it was okay to touch her, and he needed to stop. CW then asked a Southwest Airline crew member to be reseated to another section of the aircraft. The crew member relocated her to the seat of the rear of the aircraft. So at this point, the assault has stopped, meaning that there's going to be nothing more interesting in the thing. According to the witness, he did not see Alexander touch CW, but he did observe CW get up from her seat, make comments to him to not touch her, and then witnessed her inform a flight attendant of the situation and be reseated. Southwest Airline employees at Albuquerque and say that the flight attendant who spoke to CW and inevitably relocated his seat assignment was L.E. According to Alexander, so let's see what he has to say for himself. He provided a written statement after being read his Miranda rights. A smart man. He's a smart man. He did not answer verbally. He provided a written statement. Like, hello, cops. I will answer your questions, but I will answer them in writing so I have a chance to think through them. That's a great plan. Like, if you ever want to talk to the cops, write it out. He stated he was seated in the window seat behind a woman. Alexander slept most of the flight from Houston to Albuquerque. He said he recalled ordering a Coke from the flight attendant and later handing the cup back to the attendant. Alexander could not specifically recall getting into his backpack a carry-on item he stowed under the seat. At a point during the flight, the woman in front of him spoke to him and was then reseated to another part of the aircraft. After the aircraft landed, he was detained by uniformed officers. He could not describe the woman who spoke to him. According to Alexander, he had not been drinking alcohol or taking any sleep aids. CW was a total stranger and unknown to him. Upon visual examination of Alexander's hands, his fingers were of a diameter that would be considered thick. Alexander is older and worked as a heavy equipment operator, as well as being heavier set than what might be considered an average build. Oh, boy. Alexander's hands did not appear overly hairy. Oh, oh. Though his skin was pale and his hair was darker, presenting more of a contrast. Several of Alexander's fingernails had dark buildup underneath the nail and appeared dirty. Oh no, that's going to be That's going to be the evidence that gets him. After being placed in handcuffs, he asked what the sentence was for the charge he was being arrested for. Goodness. Later in the vehicle, he stated that the President of the United States says it's okay to grab women by their private parts. What? Why would you say that? Why would you say that? After everything else, there's almost no evidence against you. Listen, some people look at this show and they go, Nick, I mean, there's been articles, 5-paragraph essays written about the tone I take on this show toward people who are accused of horrible things. And the tone I take on this show is not to sympathize or to even defend these people. It's to say, all right, if you're gonna, at least take the smartest legal route on your way through. Right? So there was almost no evidence. It was a he said, she said, except for the dirty fingernails. That's gonna screw him. But then he gets in the cop car and he's like, what? Trump says it's okay. And he didn't even grab by that part. He grabbed by the bra line. So whatever. There it is. Let's see if he gets charged with anything. We'll try to do a follow-up. Never. Mom slams schools for asking 5th graders about their sexual history. In Windsor, Vermont, a Vermont woman is furious after her 10-year-old daughter was given a survey at school that asked her and her 5th-grade classmates about their sexual history, sexual orientation, and gender identity. One question asked, have you ever been in a romantic relationship? And by relationship, we mean more than friends, like having a partner for planned events like a school dance, going to the movies, or having a sexual partner. My daughter is 10, and so are all the other kids who took this. A sexual partner at 10 years old would be called sexual abuse. Beach immediately shared the survey and her disgust with it on Facebook. I find this ridiculous and unnerving, to say the least. I am so pissed. I haven't read the rest yet. Huh? What? So she posted the whole survey. She posted the survey questions on Facebook and was like, I haven't even read the rest of it. Okay. So what happened was there was a 5th grader and they do this thing. This is a real thing that schools do where they want to do some demographics. How much are 5th graders doing the earthworm into the dirt thing, right? So we poll them. We give them a survey. However, one of the questions was, and let's see if I can pull it up. We were having a problem with one of our news sources earlier today, and it is still down. This will show me to. This will teach me to not be doing control S's and saving these documents, these like news stories. I think they're always going to be there. But no, today, theunionleader.com has decided that, nope, I don't exist anymore. So I don't know what's going on. So one of the questions was, what gender were you born with? And the answers are male, female, or I'm not sure. Okay, so if you're in 5th grade and you answer, I'm not sure, there's a problem. Like maybe that's one of the trap questions. Like they put it in there to see if anyone will get it. It's kind of like when the cop says, hey, stand on one leg for 30 seconds. If you got to put your foot down, just put it down and then pick it up again. It's fine. That it's not fine. That's a trick. Also, I'm not sure what my what I was born as a gender is not fine. That is a trick. Don't answer that one because you're going to be put directly into the mental institution, or maybe in these liberal days you'll be put in the advanced section. Anyway, so it says male, female, or I'm not sure. And then right below that, it says, what do you identify your gender as? And that is a blank. It is not a multiple choice. And I'm doing this from memory now because the website's down, so you guys should be impressed. And then below that, it says, God, I don't even remember. But it does ask the question of like, how many relationships have you been in? But the funniest part was the boy, girl, I'm not sure. And what do you identify as now? Because I was never asked that in 5th. I was asked the other things. And my mom was like, son. She didn't say son. Only my dad says son. She said, if you want to opt out of this survey that they're going to be asking personal questions of, I'll opt you right out. And so all our, like the Christian moms got together and said, should we opt our kids out? Because this is completely sinful. And I said, no, mother. If everyone who was against the questions they're asking opted out, it would skew the survey results. And she was like, wow, you're a huge statistician. I feel like that was pretty advanced thinking for whatever age I was in right there, like sixth or eighth or something like that. So I fill out my, have you ever had a sexual partner in eighth? And I go, no, are you kidding me? And then I try to peek over at everyone else and be like, wait, have you? That's crazy. Can you have a sexual partner in eighth? All right. We are coming up on the end of the show, so we got one more story to go. Again, head on over to newswithnick.com. I can finally shortly take off this stupid makeup. Texas man posted ad seeking child to try necrophilia and cannibalism. A Shelby County man has been arrested after an undercover sting revealed his intent to sexually assault and murder a minor, according to a probable cause affidavit, which I do not have, unfortunately. Alexander Nathan Barter, 21. Let me spell that again. Alexander Nathan Barter, B-A-R-T-E-R, is on Facebook, and some of his posts are open to the public. You guys know what to do. Hey, I heard about this story on newswithnick.com. Just if you guys want to head on over to there where people are checking it out. He's been arrested following his alleged communications with an undercover officer regarding his desire to participate in a crime against a minor. The affidavit details the investigation that led to his arrest. The affidavit states that Barter authored a post on the dark web asking for anyone interested in allowing him to commit necrophilia and cannibalism to contact him. And boy, does he look like a man that would eat a roasted pigeon. A special agent, like, what post do you even go to? It doesn't say what site, like dark web. postingsrus.com. Anyway, he gave two encrypted email addresses which he could be reached. A special agent with the Texas Department of Public Safety was working undercover, spotted the post. The undercover agent responded, posing as an interested participant who was offering his young daughter. Barter replied, nice. I'm in East Texas. How old is your daughter? Can we kill her? And then went on to detail gruesome things he would like to do to the girl before and after her death. Damn it, I need this affidavit. Please, somebody, find it, send it in. We'll read it next week. We need to read this. Some of it might still be sealed because of the trial, but still, this would be amazing. In a chain of emails over several days, Barter created a plan to meet the daughter and father. And everyone's going, Nick, you're making light of a guy murdering a child. No, he never did it. This is uplifting news that he was caught and now it's hilarious. There's no downside. In a chain of emails over several days, he created a plan to meet the father and daughter supposedly for a hiking trip wherein the daughter would actually be taken to a hotel and assaulted, killed, and cannibalized. He instructed the undercover agent to purchase a burner phone, buy new clothes to wear after the murder, and told him to then go back home in Florida and claim that his daughter had run away from home again. What? So he's got this whole plan. He's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You bring the kid, you bring some clothes, you're going to need a change of clothes. Trust me, I've done this. I'm not going to change my mind about this. I really want to do it, he wrote. During the investigation, agents subpoenaed subscriber information and IP logs for the person having the username of the person making the plans with the undercover officer. Officers contacted the service provider, ultimately made the connection to Barter. So this happened on October 15th, and by 2 weeks later, he was arrested. That is a really short investigation. Like, some of this stuff takes like a year. I've heard of, like, the people will, like, go back and forth for months and they can't find him, and they finally find the IP address. Dread Pirate Roberts, right? The affidavit says that after being advised of his Miranda rights, Barter admitted to being the person who has been in contact with the undercover agent and that he had indeed made the statements attributed to him in the affidavit. Don't admit it. He admitted it. Because of this, the undercover agent confirmed that probable cause existed to arrest him and charged him with criminal solicitation, a criminal attempt for capital murder. He's being charged with attempted murder. There was no kid, even. Conspiracy to commit capital murder. Okay, that's probably reasonable. And criminal attempt, sexual performance of a child. Alrighty. If I had been active in 8th, I would have been charged with criminal attempt of sex, because it would have been a pretty, pretty bad attempt. Oh, yeah, hilarious. So here, how do we get this thing? So he's been charged in Shelby County, Texas, and I looked up Shelby County, Texas, and then I tried to search their court records, and it says, sorry, the court records are only searchable by going to our office. Like, can I email them and be like, please send me the affidavit for blah, blah, blah? I feel like it's worth a try. I'm like, it's Nick with News with Nick, newswithnick.com. I got a real show. I'm going to need that affidavit. This is a 91A request, whatever that thing is. All right. This has been News with Nick for Halloween. Please go open your doors and be like, kids, come on in. There's candy in here. And then give them candy and then walk out. Like that time. Remember, you guys, I've told this story, right? Where my sister and I were at a science museum and this guy came up to us and he said, hey, kids, you like that ant farm? Well, I got an even bigger ant farm in the basement of the museum. You want to see it? And we said, Grandma, this guy wants to show us the bigger ant farm in the basement of the museum. And she's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And so we went with him and we saw the ant farm. and then we like left and everything was fine. I don't know why. They were like, this ant farm is dying. We've got another one planned. But I don't know why the guy picked us who worked there to be like, you want to see the bigger ant farm? How strange. All right, bye. Boo.